Please rise. Peter replied, answering, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Please be seated. My dearest brother and sister in Christ Jesus, Christ is not Jesus' last name. I think your children know this now. When we hear the term or the word or the name Jesus Christ, it is more proper for us to say Jesus the Christ. So let's talk about that this morning. All too often in our society, we use titles as though they are a name. But we shouldn't forget that titles are actually descriptive. They tell us what a person does. President, governor, coach, pastor. In fact, it seems that we have lost the value of actually using titles in our society today. In actuality, all we want to do is tear each other down instead of respect each other. Maybe we've lost the importance of titles on purpose, since they are reminders to us. By the way, the title Mrs. tells us something about a woman, that she is a married woman, and that a man who is not her husband is forbidden to have sexual relations with her. In the same way with the man, Mr. means that he is a married man, and he should not use his body for wrong purposes. By the way, the title Mrs. and Mr. reminds us, as does the title Christian, reminds us that we have taken a vow. We have taken a vow before our Lord that we will be honorable, that we will be truthful, that we will practice fidelity. That has been lost in our society today. There is one place, though, where titles are still in use, and that's by regulation. That's the U.S. military. Sir and ma'am is required, as is with senior NCOs, by address them by their title, by their rank. It's very refreshing. Why? Because discipline must be maintained for the sake of readiness and for the sake of your defense and my defense. For the defense of our nation. So Simon Peter answers Jesus and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living One, the Son of the Living God." So let's take a look at these terms today, the term Christ and Son and Living God. The Christ, the Greek term that Peter uses is Ho Christos, which in the Hebrew would be pronounced Messiah, of which we get the English word Messiah, and Messiah is the Greek word for the anointed one. So if you were in Bible class this morning, you hear that Jesus has been anointed. In the Old Testament, prophet, priest, and kings had to be anointed with olive oil. That marked them as being set apart to do a job as a priest, or as a prophet, or as a king. Jesus has been set apart because he has been anointed. He is the anointed one at his baptism. But Jesus was anointed in a very unusual way. As water was poured onto him, our sins were being poured onto him. And he was bearing the sins of the world. And then there's a voice from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Messiah, your Savior. The Christ has been sent to redeem all mankind by dying for all mankind. Even those who do not confess that He is the Christ, He has still died for them because that's His title. That's what He was set apart to do, to save all men from their sins. And when he did this, he was also to reconcile all men, especially the nation of Israel, back to the Father. But because Jesus has died on the cross, He has also reconciled us back to our Father who is in heaven. Because Jesus has done this, Scripture tells us that rivers will run in the desert, plants will bloom in the wilderness, mountains and the seas, and everything in between will leap for joy because He is the Christ, and He has come, and He has saved. This is good news, dear one. It's good news for you that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Because it is He who has taken your sins, and He has taken them to the cross, and He has died. And then He was laid in a tomb, but He did not remain in the tomb. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Even in the middle of Pentecost, you remember. Very good. Yeah, Jesus did not remain dead. He rose on the third day, and He ascended into heaven, and as the Christ, as the Son of God, He has made one final promise that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He will come for us and take us to be where He is. And He will do this. And He has done it for all the saints who are resting across Hume Road. And wherever your loved ones are resting, He has kept and He will keep His promise. So, a title is very important. It's intended to be descriptive, like Farmer Brown, or Officer Smith, or Mr. Doe, or Fireman Shum, or Pastor Harrison. Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of the Living One. So therefore, when we hear Jesus, or when we speak His name, from now on, we do not say Jesus Christ, we say Jesus the Christ. Because that's what Scripture teaches us. Jesus is the Christ. He's the one and the only. There is none other. There is no other way to heaven, dear one. No matter what you may have been taught, no matter what you have heard, no matter what you may believe, there is only one way. For Jesus tells us that He is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Me. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and there is none other, because He is the Son. He is the one who has been sent to fulfill the plan of redemption, the plan of salvation, which was foretold all the way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3:15, that He will bruise the heel of the Messiah. But Satan's head will be crushed here at the cross. Jesus has done this. He has been sent by God the Father. He is the Son. He is the Son, the one and the only of the living God. Therefore, since Jesus is the Son of the living God, Jesus must have authority because it's from His Father. And Jesus does have authority as the Anointed One. He has all authority given to Him in heaven and in earth, and this has been given to Him by His Father in heaven. When we think of authority, we think of one who has power over others. Sadly, people will misuse their authority, and authority will corrupt. Power corrupts, and it corrupts absolutely. We know this. We see this in our society today. But that's not what God's definition of power and authority is. Jesus has authority to lay down His life and to take it up again for you. Jesus has authority and power to take up His life, to resurrect His life, as He will resurrect you. Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. He is the Christ. He is the Son. He is God. And Jesus does not misuse His authority, nor His power. It's always used for your benefit because of His great love for you, for each and every one of you. We must understand that the one who has authority must use it to benefit other people. God forbids that man uses his authority in the wrong way to lord it over others. God wants us to use authority for the good of our neighbor, for the good of our wife, for our husband, for our children, for our grandchildren, for everyone as a Christian. So this brings us to the source of this authority and to the source of Peter's confession. Actually, the source of your confession. And the source of Peter's confession is this, the very words of Jesus. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. The authority that we have as Christians to confess that Jesus is God, that He is the Son of God, that He is the Anointed One, the Christ, comes from God. There is authority in Peter's confession, therefore. And this makes his confession valid and truthful, just as your confession, when you confess the Apostles' Creed, makes it valid and truthful because it's from God. Your confession is the truth. Even though the world says there is no truth, there is truth. And Jesus tells us that His Word is truth. Therefore, your confession is truth. So this brings us to our final point. Confession, and this confession as the living one of God. For Peter, to teach and to encourage the other disciples is the same say as God. Same say. That's exactly what Jesus was saying that Peter was doing. He's saying the same as God. The Father knows that Jesus is His Son. The Father knows that Jesus is the Christ. And therefore, we say the same thing as the Father. That's what confession is. We are saying the same as God says. God says that you're a sinner. God says that I am a sinner and that we cannot save ourselves. So when we refuse to confess that we are sinners, we are not saying the same thing as God. We are saying the same thing as the evil one, who doesn't want us to confess that we are sinners, who doesn't want us to confess that Jesus is the Messiah, that He's the Christ, that He's the Son of God, that He's God. You see, dear ones, we are not free. We are not free to change the creed. We are not free to change the confession of our Lord. We are not free to say that Jesus isn't God. We are not free to say that He's not the Messiah or the Anointed One, because the Father has already said it. And unless you're greater than the Father, you have no standing before God. You have no standing before the church. You have no standing before me. Because Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the Living One. He is the Messiah. So for us not to say the same is the same as the world says. Out there, people are saying, Jesus, oh, maybe He's a holy man. Maybe. But He's definitely not God, because there's many ways to heaven, whatever heaven is. We are not to conform our faith to the world, as you heard Paul write to the Romans. Because you have been set apart, dear one. You have been baptized. You have been given the truth, freely given the truth. And when you make that confession, you're making the same confession that is being made in heaven constantly. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. God is a holy one. He is righteous, and He was always will be and always has been God. You are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of God, the Living One. And that's vastly important for us, because Jesus is life, and because you have been given newness of life in your baptism, you have life everlasting. And you should not throw that away by walking away from Christ, by forgetting your baptism, by forgetting the sacraments, by forgetting His Word. When you walk away from Jesus, you just might as well walk right into hell, because that's where you're going. That's where you're headed. Because when you walk away from life, all that's left is death, eternal death. Yet Jesus is life. And He has given us this life freely, as a free gift, here at the cross, there at the font, here at the altar. Thanks be to Jesus that He is the Christ. So this helps us to be on guard. It reminds us who we are, so that we will learn to measure things, not according to the world's standard, but we measure things according to God's standard, His holy word. To measure all things according to the faith that we have been given is life itself. Lest we lose ourselves and or lose our children or we lose our grandchildren and we lose succeeding generations if we do not proclaim the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So let's close with these words. Parents, I know this for a fact that you want your children to confess as clearly as Peter does. I want you to confess as clearly as Peter does. And you want me to confess as clearly as Peter does. Do you want them to follow through on their confession? Bring them to church. Bring them to Sunday school. For adults, come to adult Bible class. For an adult Bible class, we get into the weeds, if you will, and we learn what these words mean, what they mean for our souls. It's just not a time to be away from home for a while. We're actually learning about the truth of God's Word, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. 1 hour, an hour early each Sunday morning, will reap great benefits for each of you. Come and hear. Hear what Jesus is saying to you in His Word. As we take His Word and we open it up like a beautiful flower, because that's what His Word is. It's beautiful and it is life. So Christ is not His last name. Christ is His work for your salvation. As His baptized child, you also have a title, Christian, Christ living in you. And that's to your great joy. For He has died, and He has risen, and He has ascended, and He is coming again, dear one, and we will all proclaim on that great and glorious day, Lord Jesus, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen and amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.